Well, good morning. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning, and we want to welcome everyone that is watching this morning or during the week. We have a lot of people that watch, and so we just pray that God's Holy Spirit would be upon you this morning and upon them. And I want to thank you for coming and being a part of our service, and may the blessings of the Lord be upon your heart, upon your soul, and may He lead and guide you and help you throughout your life and throughout this week. If you would, as we do our church reading today, we turn to Psalms 142. Psalms 142. And we're going to read from the whole chapter, 1 to 7. There's only 7 verses. Amen. This was David speaking about what he was going through and how he was going to praise the Lord and stuff. So, King David. It says in the verse 1. Now, we're all going to read it together, okay? You all ready? I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplications. Verse 2. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. Verse 4. I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man who knew me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Verse 5. I cried unto you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. 6. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall compass me about, for you shall deal bountifully with me, my Lord. Verse 5, I cried unto you, Lord. I said, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Remember, God will never forsake you. Yes, amen. Never, never, never will he forsake his children, my Lord. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. My God, my God, my Lord, what a God we serve, people. Like I said earlier, we do want to welcome everyone here, and we just pray that something we say or do will encourage you in your walk with him this week, my Lord. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, page 2004. We're going to read verse 9 and 10, and then we'll turn to Isaiah, and I'll give you that scripture, which is him quoting Isaiah here in 1 Corinthians. Paul. It says in verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, thank you, Lord, nor ear heard, praise God, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, I want you to turn to Isaiah 64, page 1219, verse 4. We just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, verse 9, Paul wrote that in Corinthians, but he was really quoting what Isaiah said in 64, verse 4. Okay, remember this. Paul was a very educated man. He knew the scriptures. He knew all they had basically at that time was the Old Testament scriptures. And look, they were tutored in the scriptures. They knew the scriptures of old. Okay. And so as he was writing 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, under the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost, God, the Holy Spirit, brought back to remembrance Isaiah 64, 4, and that was quoted in 2 Corinthians. Look at verse 4. It says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides you, what he has prepared for him who waits for him." Okay. Now look, these two scriptures are almost exactly the same, the content of it. There's a few little words that might be a little different, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But the content of it is the same. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for his people or his children or for the ones he loves. Here we see, you might say, well, what does God have prepared for me? Remember this. When you got saved, when you gave your heart to him, he drew you by the Holy Ghost. And finally, one day it came into being that finally you made a decision to follow Christ. Okay? From the beginning of time, he knew you. When you were in the heavens with him, he knew you. He had already prepared the path for you upon the earth. But then when you got saved and you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, all that he had prepared for you for the earth is now yours. Amen. Some things might be a little different with each and every one of us, but some things might be the same. Remember, he used the prepared, that means it's the past. It's already been prepared. Not that he's not preparing for the future, but he has already prepared for you great things. Great things. Can you imagine when you got saved, God the Holy Spirit came and lived, comes and abides and lives on the inside of you and has prepared the future for you. Now, sometimes we think, well, you know, God has prepared the future. Well, everything has to be great. Remember, God has called each and every one of us for whatever particular service he has in his kingdom, whatever it may be. It might be more than one thing. I remember God has called me to pastor a church or to be a pastor. You know, when God called me to be a pastor, let's say, and I'm going to just use this as an example, okay? Let's say it was on a Thursday. You know, you just felt the calling. You know, that Sunday, I was not behind the pulpit. There had to be a preparing in my heart to be able to assume the responsibility of being what God wanted me to be, to have the heart that he has for his people. As a pastor, you have to care about people. Amen. That is your business, if you want to say it that way. It is a business to a certain point of the paperwork and the things you got to do. You got to be upright in things. So when God called me to be a pastor, to preach the gospel, we all preach the gospel somehow, some way, but to be over people, I just didn't take the responsibility like I said that next Sunday. You know what God did? Little by little, He prepares you for the future. What He has already prepared in the heavens, He's now making it come about upon the earth for each and every one of us. So don't think lightly of things that you and I go through, because it is preparing you for the future or for that next day or for that next year. He knows how to build your faith. He knows how to make you believe for what He has for us tomorrow. He knows what to do in our hearts and in our lives. And if we don't follow the path that He has set before us, we are going a different path. That means we're not following the path that God has, and He has to bring us back to that path. Amen. And it's not easy sometimes. Not easy. When I started teaching or preaching the gospel, preaching is really teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know where I started? In children's church. I tell you what, look, I'll use this paper. I said, oh Lord, these kids. Literally. Yo, I'm telling you. I got in front of them. And I looked down and I thought, oh God. And I had my paper and I just read. And just read. That's it. You have to remember, I was only about 15, 16. I got saved at 15, started right into it. Deathly afraid to be in front of people. You know, as a pastor, you have to be able to be in front of people, don't you think? You have to be able to speak in front of people and communicate. But you see, God will prepare you. So don't shuck off the little things that He says. Look, you know, Joe, I want you to... Don't shuck off when He tells you little things that He wants you to do. Because He knows the future. He knows how you need to communicate. He knows how you need to speak to the people. And everybody's different because everybody's character is different. You know, people say, well, you know, I want to be kind of like whatever you. You know, I said, don't be me. There's only one me. Somebody might have my name, Joey, yeah. But there's only one me. Be you in what God calls you to do. Be you, because we don't need more of me. We need more of God in us, you know. And I've heard preachers years ago, that this guy, I mean, the anointing would fall in churches where he got up, and that's what he did. That's just who he was. He would go to preach the gospel and he would just read his sermons. And the power of God would fall in that service. So you see, it's not up to us how we deliver it. We want to do it well. But it's under the unction and the power of Almighty God. That is the main issue. And after being children's church for a while, then it went up to being an associate pastor for 15 years. Then God eliminated that. And, well, I say God, whatever, eliminates that. And here for, going on, it's going to be 16 years this year. You want to talk about tilling the ground? Tilling the ground. I remember when I just felt we needed to come here. I didn't know where we'd start. I didn't know where we'd go as far as meetings. I didn't know what we'd do. But I knew, I said, Lord, you can handle it. We didn't start out in some big building. We didn't start out in, really, we started out in a little home I mean, a home that we met on Sunday nights. That's all we could do. We tried to go to a different church before that, and it just closed. God closed the door. And I said, Lord, okay. Because we just wanted to be in church, though. And so, God just opened the door. So we called, and I talked to these people, and they said, they prayed about it, and they said, yes, come. And they opened their house for 3 months for us. 3 months, every night. Every Sunday night. Then we rented the old library in back of City Hall in Gaydon. Rented that on Sunday mornings for the next 6 months, I think it was. Then you see this little building on this side right here? We rented that. Talk about a horror of a place. I said, well, it looks bad now. You should have seen it before. The inside smelled horrible, bad. We just did it. We said, Lord, I went to places. They said they just rented whatever. And you just go on. You don't worry about stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, we rented that building across the street. That was a brand new building, that lady. She tore down the old building, and she just built the building. We went in there, spent $20,000 or so, and just finished it. Because we needed a place. It was very nice. Very nice place. Then all of a sudden, God opened this place for us. There was a lot to do to it. But thank you, Lord, what he gave us. You see, we don't know the path he prepares. God is preparing you for the future. He's preparing you for tomorrow. Don't stop the preparing process. Amen. Come on now, you need a shout. Amen. Don't stop it. You need to have the mind of, I was talking to somebody a little bit this morning, having the mind of Christ. You might say, well, how do I do that? Tell the Lord, Father, give me the mind of Christ. Lord, help me to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, Lord. Give me your mind on situations, on decisions I have to make, where I need to go and what I need to do. Because I tell you what, it takes one bad decision to get us off track. And let me tell you, we stay on that track, and all of a sudden we wake up one Sunday morning and we find we should be here and we're 20 miles away. And let me tell you, when you're not in the will of God, that means you're not in his will. That means you're in self's will or the enemy's will. And we don't want that. We want the will of Almighty God, because he has prepared the future for you. He has prepared tomorrow for you. Amen. Ask God to work in you, to show you what needs to happen for tomorrow and the next year, to prepare you. And when you feel a nudging on your spirit on the inside by the Holy Ghost, walk in that decision. Walk in that. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God and walk in it. And saying, Lord, I can't see 20 feet down, but I can see right there, 1 foot down. Give me the light I need for tomorrow, so I can have the light I need in 20 years from now. My Lord, my Lord. My Lord, my Lord. You know, it's a bad decision when a mother or a father leaves church, and that's everywhere or whatever, and there's kids are just coming in, and all of a sudden they leave and they don't go to church anymore, and you see their children sway out. Oh, my Lord. And I'm thinking, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What he has prepared for you. What he has prepared for you. Let's look at an example. What he has prepared. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. 21:62. My Lord, my Lord. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and your power. Thank you, Lord. Verse 3. 21:62. It says, according to his divine power has he given unto us all things. Remember, when you got saved, he gave you all things you need. You know, the world keeps looking for more. You know what's the sad part, though? I want to say this kindly. The church is looking for more. When they have it all. My Lord. You might say, what's all? Faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. We don't have to look for more. We look to him. He's already prepared it. Amen. What he has prepared for you in the future, my Lord, we don't know. I don't know. I don't even know future for me, everything. Know some little things. But Lord, what God has prepared is good. What he's prepared, has prepared in the heavens for you, it is good for you today. It is good for you tomorrow. It's good for you next year. Learn everything you need to learn. Learn, learn, learn. You have difficult times, learn from those difficult times. Don't shuck it off like it's nothing. Learn from it. Say, Father, give me the wisdom to do what I need to do. Because you know what? He might be trying to get you and I to trust him more than ever before. You see, sometimes we think, well, if I can handle it, we don't say it too much, but our actions, we don't need God. If I can handle it. Ooh. Look, we need God. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to make right decisions because he has prepared many things for us. There's no retirement in the kingdom. I'm not in the kingdom of God. It's always going to be work to do, things to accomplish. But what has God called you to do? To be the great mother you need to be for your family? To be the great father you need to be to your family? Whatever it is. Whatever it is. But I tell you what, you learn from what you're going through now so that you can get to the second base, you can get to third, and you can come on home. And you can let God move upon that situation. You can stand there and say, hey, God can accomplish those things. I look back and I say, Lord, thank you for all the things I learned as an associate pastor there in Kaplan. To get this thing started here. The paperwork, the things that I know. And know what to do. And not bragging, but just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, to accomplish and get what God wants done. And people will come your way. You know, you got to be careful what you share with everybody. But people will come your way and try to throw water on your fire. I had people tell me, you'll never raise a church in Gaydon. Never. They will never support you. They will never, it will not come about. And I said, thank you. Because you don't want to be rude. You might say, well, you need to be. No. God says to be loving and kind to the body of Christ. That doesn't mean you allow, but be kind and loving and forgiving. Ooh, and that's not easy at times, especially in the body of Christ when you trust somebody. Huh? And remember this, forgiveness doesn't, it's not how we feel if we forgive or not. We forgive because God says if we don't forgive, he won't forgive us. And so we set the path in motion to forgive always. To forgive and say, Lord, I forgive. That doesn't mean you have to be the greatest of friends. That doesn't even mean you have to associate with them or her, him or her, whatever. Unless it's your husband or your wife or your children. You know, you got to get those things settled. You know, I'm talking about the body of Christ. But you have to let God move. And here we see in 1 Peter 1:3, it says this. Okay, we'll read it, most of it again. According to his divine power has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. look, when you got saved, he gave you life. He gave you godliness, my Lord. You know what? We don't have to pray about what's right and wrong almost, huh? We know the things that we do sometimes that's wrong, huh? Live a godly life. I'm not saying a religious life, a godly life. According to him, serving him, that he gave us life. Life unto us. Now I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 16, page 496. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, you can shout anytime you want to shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all a great bunch of people. Look at verse 1, talking about David. And the Lord said unto Samuel, remember, Samuel's the prophet. And when Samuel came to town, the people were like, oh, Lord, we're in trouble. That's just how they thought. But, you know, not all, that's like, you know, when I say, you know, and I'm not sure not putting myself in the prophet position. But when I say, I need to talk to you, what do you think first? What did I do wrong? Oh. Yeah, that's like when your mom and dad said, oh, when they call your first and middle name, you knew you were in trouble, huh? There was no getting by the situation. When your mom or your dad said both names, you were in trouble. And buddy, if they said all three, you might as well bury yourself. Amen. Let's get back to the scripture. It says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Saul wasn't dead, but he was ungodly. Okay, Saul was not dead yet. He was ungodly. Okay, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil. So he's telling Samuel, fill your horn with oil. I have picked somebody else. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And David said, how can I go if Saul hear it? He will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord, which he really did. He sacrificed unto the Lord. He didn't say a lie, okay? But he had to do it because Saul was so angry at David. I mean, he didn't want any other king and he would kill. And call Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint unto me him who I named unto you. And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked at Eliab, which is the eldest son, and said, surely the Lord anointed is before me. Now, I want to stop just for a minute. Samuel is the prophet of the Lord of Israel. He was moved by what he saw, but not moved by the Spirit of God, what God would say. And when Eliab came in, the oldest and the eldest of the son, he said, what? Surely that's the king that God's going to. And it wasn't. So always remember, don't be moved by what you see. Be moved by the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Okay? That's how we live, by faith in him. So if the prophet could be misled, we also by what we see. Because we think, you know, churches with thousands, and you know, we need churches of all kinds. We need church that God has approved it. Not necessarily so. Is the anointing and the Spirit of God upon a church? When God does that, he approves of that church and that pastor. But you can go in a church service and you can feel zero. And it's not so much just the church, it's us too. Okay? We need the Spirit of God in every church. We need the Spirit of God in every capacity, in every way that the anointing of God can flow. But don't be moved by the physical eye. Be moved by the Spirit of God that speaks on the inside of you. You might say, well, I don't know when God speaks. Say, Lord, show me your will. Show me. He has prepared the future for you. Look at this, starting with verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Ooh. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither have Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Do you think maybe, look, he knows the Lord spoke to Samuel, knows the Lord spoke to me to get Jesse. He has made me fill the horn full of oil. And all the sons that were there came and passed before him. And he's saying, none of these. Do you think he's thinking, did I miss it? Oh, come on now. Okay. But God knew what was going to happen. God knew that David wouldn't even be invited to the situation at that time. Verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are these all your children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, that means red-haired, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. My Lord, when you follow what God wants, the Spirit of God will be there and he will anoint. The power will move. The anointing of God will move. Here we see David. My Lord, they even left him to take care of the sheep out there. He wasn't even worthy to be with them. Now, I'm not sure if that's the father's fault or the brother's fault. I mean, it might be a mixture of all. But you see, let me tell you this. God looks at the heart of a person. We, for the most part, can only see the outward appearance of a person. But God looks at the inward part. What has he prepared for you? It says that they took that horn of oil, it was a huge horn of oil, and they poured it up. The prophet poured it upon David in the presence of his father, in the presence of all his brothers, and said, this will be the king. This is whom I have chosen. God has chosen him. God may look over 100 people or 1,000 people to get to you. Because he knows your heart. Keep your heart right before him consistently, continually, at all times. When something comes your way that wants to throw you off course, you get on your knees before God, or you get somewhere alone with him and you call upon him and you say, Lord, look at me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me faith. Give me help. Show me what you want me to do, Lord. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. He's looking for hearts that will look to him. He's not looking for a perfect person, because there will never be one. Amen. Jesus was the only perfect one. They say he anointed him. It just says anointed him to be king. You can look throughout scripture. It does not say at what age he was. But they seem to think that he was about 12, 13, maybe 15. We will go with 15. It's not what the scripture says, because we don't know. But let's just say that's still young, huh? 12, 13, or 15 is young, young, young. To be anointed king. When he was anointed king, Did he get up and walk to the temple? And I'd say, hey, Saul, get off, because I'm the king. He did not do that. This is what he did. God had set in motion a plan to make David a great and godly king. He was a shepherd taking care of his father's sheep in Bethlehem. This was his first known occupation. This is the king taking care of old dirty sheep. The ones that can't fend for themselves. If they drink too much water from a rushing brook, it will kill them. I mean, just all kinds of things. He was a musician and poet. He played the harp and wrote poetry and psalms reflecting on his life and relationship to God. As he would play, because old Saul, as the angel would afflict him, he would get upset. He said, David, it says David at one time that we know of, but there's many times, as he was playing, Saul would take his spear and try to throw it and kill David. Ooh. This is the king that God called. Saul was the king that man called. David was the king that God called. It even says that David was sleeping one night, and Saul got up and he called his men to go and kill David on his bed. His wife got heard of it. Jonathan, Saul's son, heard of it. And they went tell David, God will protect us, people. God will protect us from the evils of this world as we humble ourselves before him, as we cradle unto him, have his angels round about us protecting us, and got out of there. He was still king, David, but Saul was still in that position. He was a skilled fighter protecting his flock from the lions and the bears, which taught him how to kill Goliath. Oh, my Lord. We wonder why. Well, why, God, I have to go through this? Well, why not to make you a better Christian for what God has prepared for us in the future or tomorrow? You see, everything we go through has to go to God first. He has to allow it. Okay? And what we go through prepares us for what he has prepared us for the future to go to be. That our character, who we are with us. Look at this. He was anointed, as we know, by the prophet Samuel. David defeats Goliath. He fled from Saul. Saul was envious of David's popularity and victories. At one time at a parade, it says, they said, Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. You want to make Saul mad? He was upset. He already didn't like David, forcing David into hiding for years. He hid in caves. Can you imagine? This is the king, people. And we say, well, you know, God has called us to be whatever it is. And he's wanting you. But let me tell you, he has to do what he has to do to prepare us to be the best we can be as we represent Christ in everything we do. We want to be great representatives of Christ. We don't want to lower the standards. We want God to be glad. We want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's hard to go through the preparation time of what God is doing in us to be what God wants us to be. But I tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. David formed an army. David gathered followers and became a leader, gaining more experience in managing people. You know what? He lived like a fugitive. That means a fugitive is one who escapes from jail. But we know that's how he had to live. Can you imagine? This is the king of kings. I mean, the king at that time. Living in a cave, not having much food, not having the comforts of life as a king should have. But you see, God said, that's my king, and I will protect him. Remember this. You are a child of God. And what God has called you to do, he will prepare you for it. What God has called you to do, it might be little steps here or there, but don't go to the left or to the right. Keep your eyes focused upon him and let him do what he wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. You might say, well, I know David failed one time for sure. Yes, he did. But he learned something from it. You might fail in your life, because I know you will, just like me. We will fall. But it's how we get up and who we call upon. Do we blame circumstances or we blame another person? People, we got to get rid of that stuff. We can't blame other Christians for who we are. I know they might have done some things to us, but we can't blame them anymore. We have a Savior who can do mighty things. We can't blame the pastor down the road for what he's done in our hearts and lives. We got to look to God and say, okay, God, you are the God that heals our hearts. You are the God that goes before us. We have to get over those things. Put on the mind of Christ. Think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report. Let God move upon your heart, and he will strengthen you. Now, that doesn't mean you won't cry. That doesn't mean you won't have some bad days. But let me tell you this. God will be with you in the good days and the bad days, whatever days come about. David wrote more Psalms. His time in solitude and under pressure allowed him to write more Psalms, shaping his character and relationship with God. Can you imagine being in a cave and all you can do is write? And he wrote, thank God, most of Psalms, not all of it, but most of it. He demonstrated leadership. His years on the run, facing danger and making difficult decisions, were a crucial training period that prepared him for ruling. All of this happened, and he was called by God to be king. Look at this. I want you to turn to 2 Samuel 5:31. We're about to close, people. Look at this. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. Now, if you read, you'll see that he didn't reign all of Israel yet. He took a portion of Judah. He took this portion. Then finally, at the end, he had the whole, basically almost all of it. We're saying 15. It's easy to calculate. Okay. 15 is when he was anointed by Samuel. 30 is when he rightfully took that position and sat upon the throne. But he was called by God at 15. You've been called by God when you got saved. And no telling what God has prepared for you. I don't know. But you need to seek God for your own self. And you and I need to quit having a mindset that we know it. Come on now. And we know what God wants to do. Maybe we don't at times. We might have a little glimpse. Ooh, thank you, Lord. But he gives us light for the next step and the next step and the next step, not 100 years down the road. But at 30 years of age, he comes, already anointed, and sits on that throne. 15 years, if you want to say almost, of horror in the physical. But I bet you if you could talk to David just today and say, how were those, let's say, 15 years? He might say, that was some of the best years of my life. Because if it wasn't for those 15 years, we wouldn't have probably most of the book of Psalms. we wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have the singing and praising unto God. David would probably say, I'm so glad God gave me those years so I can learn. Because as he walked up to that throne and sat, he had a heart for the people. And he had a heart for God. You might say, well, look what he did. I know it. He committed adultery, had her husband killed. I mean, that's bad, huh? Let's face it. That's bad. But God saw the heart of this man. God sees your heart. It doesn't matter what people say about you. Now, we want good reputations. And I don't like to be lied on, just like you. But people do it. And we can't change it. Because look, if we tried to change it, and we tried to go to this one and that one and tell them, look, you run yourself ragged. Amen. So what you do is you sit there and you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, you know what's happening. And you let God be God. Amen. And you pursue him. And you let him take care of those other things. David, 15 years, he had to take out and he had to put in to be the greatest king they ever had on earth. In your pursuit and your walk with Christ, when you got saved, he already had prepared for you so many things, people. And so now we just got to seek God and say, Lord, show me what you have. And look, when we go through something, we say, Lord, help me to learn from this what you want me to learn. Because he knows the future and what we need to be. No hard hearts can be used of God. And so what God, and for the most part, God will crack it every once in a while. But God wants us to have that pliable heart that we forgive, that we help, that we don't judge so harshly, but that our heart is for him. Now you might say, well, you don't know the people I know. Well, that's okay. God knows them. And hey, we keep our hearts right before him. Because what God has prepared the future for you for, my Lord, he's preparing you for it. It may look dim. It may look like there's no possible way that it could happen. But you just sit and you wait and you praise the Lord. And you consume everything he has. I wonder how it felt. Because David wrote these psalms. He played the harp and stuff. As king, when he finally got on that throne, I'm sure there were days he'd sit on that throne and he'd lift his hands and he'd worship the king with the psalms, the songs that came from heaven above. And the glory of the Lord would fill that temple. The glory of the Lord would fill the throne. Not for him, but for him. God wants to be exalted in everything we do. What preparation is he applying to your life today? Don't despise where you are and what you are actively going through in life. He is preparing you. You may go through difficult times and seasons, difficult seasons in life, the times of hardship, suffering, isolation, and pain. But he has prepared for you in life. He will equip you for that event in your life. Try to build your faith in him and him alone. Focusing on God's ways reveals a path that is higher, greater, and more wonderful than anything your eyes have seen or your ears have heard. My Lord, my Lord. What he has prepared for his people. What he has prepared for his people. God has not forgotten you. I know some of you are feeling God's forgotten me. He has not. There's no way possible. You are a child of the living God. The enemy will try to say that to you. Just don't accept it. Well, I'm doing nothing. Well, you get with the Lord. You praise him. You honor him. You take that time of spending time in that word. And you let the Spirit of God move. Amen. And change us. So that we can be the best that God has on this earth. Because of him. We don't know. I may be looking at some evangelists here. I don't know. I may be looking at some prophets here. I may be looking at people that will change children's lives for God. Who knows what God can do? My Lord, praise God. Keep your faith in Christ and let him work in you and through you this day.